I love that it gives you the two options when someone else is recording the meeting are either got it or leave meeting. And I feel that so strongly in my bones whenever I'm talking to anyone is either got it or I will simply leave this interaction.
I've done
I know, to me. And then after you left, I said, got it. And then I just
Got to be
boop,
quicker than that.
I now call this meeting the Amateur Detective Club to order. My name is Tristan Miller. The I almost said Skanky Sleuth. That is simply not me.
80T after dark, baby. Let's go.
Awesome sleuth. Someone please stop me talking.
I'm Melissa Maylie, the spy.
I'm Tyler Riley, Captain ACAB, until something better comes along.
Perhaps a skanky sleuth for you then. I don't.
So Tristan, I do have to note that I listened to the
Sure.
first couple minutes of the episode we released onto the main feed last week, which was the Murder She Wrote episode about the
Sure.
car. Because I wanted to see just, you know, what was
What path
happening at
we
the beginning
wrought.
of that episode. And and you said, you know, I really think I should change my name.
This has come up at least four times. I'm not satisfied with Saucy Sleuth, but and yet it continues.
That was 4 years ago. I think we recorded that episode on
Oh
April 29th,
my God.
2020.
Oh. Oh my God.
I know, where does the time go? Tyler's having an existential crisis. This is fun.
I am. 'Cause like that was months before that fucking ding dong and I got back to
All right.
Oh,
I'm leaving
that's gross.
that in the
If he hears, he should know he's a fucking ding
Yes, that's fair.
dong.
So indicative of your personality, Tyler, that you do say fucking, but you call him a ding dong. You know what I mean? Like, you know?
It's very poetic. It really paints quite a picture of who he is. And yeah, I'm
Y'all met
trying
him.
to, yeah, couple of times. I would say this as well. I'm trying to bring Ding-a-ling back.
Oh yeah.
Oh, when I hear ding-a-ling, though, my mind
It's
goes to
like
one place and one place only. My no-no square.
Oh, okay. See that I'm not familiar. Like I am not familiar with that both conceptually and personally, Tyler. But also, oh,
For
I've
you to
never heard
remember.
ding-a-ling. Yeah. I've never heard ding-a-ling for that. Whereas like someone I've called I like growing up, if someone was kind of an airhead, they'd be like, oh, they're just kind of a ding-a-ling.
I've
Like
never heard
there's
that usage. That's
it's
interesting.
like your brain is rattling around in your like a bell.
Okay, little clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. I hear you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You can find us on Patreon. You can go to
Oh, right, yeah.
patreon.com/ADCpod. Get exclusive. I mean, we just released an episode from behind our Patreon wall because we were busy. And so you can check that one out, and that's let me like that's what's indicative about what's behind the paywall. That and the clips and other stuff. It's a pretty good time.
Yes,
Yeah.
we are going to at some point get
Oh
back to
boy.
posting more stuff on it. It's been a winter, everyone. So thanks for welcoming us back. Why was that hard to say? Welcoming us back and bearing with us, and me especially. I feel like as I have learned how to edit and
Oh, I see.
post
Oh, gotcha.
and all that stuff. Because
Yeah.
that's what's happening behind the pod, is that I am editing and posting the episodes now, and I don't know what I'm doing yet. So here we
I
go.
mean, don't know what you're doing. I think you have an inkling.
Yeah, I'm getting
Yeah.
there. I'm faking it till I make it. I
You're
don't
doing more than I ever have. So there's
know. Yeah.
that.
And
And
more
thank
than
you
I'm
for
willing to
doing it.
do. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a little erratic at the moment. And
Yeah.
As a side note, if this episode is particularly echoey on my end, it's because I am in a an empty apartment practically. So it's very it really is amazing how much just the art on my walls and the fact that I had furniture was absorbing sound, because now I'm in a big empty space and it's, I can hear the difference.
100%.
So we are indeed recording an episode about something.
Before we do, do have a Facebook group that I am trying to be more engaging and active.
Can I tell you, I've been seeing your posts and I appreciate them, Tyler. Talk more about the Facebook group. Sorry.
Okay. So join us. We are the Amateur Detective Club on Facebook. We're a group. Answer the question so I know that you're a real human and that you understand what the group is prior to joining. We have had a few people who have tried to give us real life mysteries to solve. And well, if I had the time, I would. But it would not be what you wanted, I am sure.
We used to have a disclaimer at the beginning of our episodes.
We still do.
Do we?
Yeah. Don't we? Sometimes we do.
Sometimes we do.
Sometimes we
don't. I meant to send you the file with the disclaimer at the beginning of the episode. But
well,
what can you do?
Okay. Well, maybe that's why.
Oh yeah, that's probably apologies, the reason.
Friend. Maybe we weren't doing our due diligence. But nonetheless, we are not detectives quite yet.
No.
Yeah.
I know that's at least one of our like possible future careers.
Yeah, I mean, I do watch Dateline and try to solve the case as I go along, but you know, I'm not there yet. Oh, but we are also on Instagram at ADC Pod, and you can see the beautiful libraries that I share in our stories.
Yeah.
That was something I was gonna... Twitter still?
We are, but I'm not. I'm trying to navigate my relationship with social media at this point. So we are on Twitter. You can find us there. I will try to get back to you as soon as I can. Leave a message at the beep. But yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. Because I don't have like Twitter on my phone.
I also feel like we don't really need to be on that particular platform.
Yeah, I'm not.
I feel like it's just getting less and less, right?
It's kind of coming back.
Okay.
Oh gosh.
And if of all things, Tumblr is also coming back. Thank God. Yeah, I remain winning. I am thriving in this era.
Like, did they bring porn back? Because
no, here's the thing. They're like wiggling around. It's interesting, but that's not why I'm on it. But
it's porn, but only the gifts.
Honestly, Tyler, you're not far off.
God, why am I guessing correctly? This is a mystery I didn't want to solve.
Well, let's get into the mystery that we do want to solve, which is...
Can we focus enough to do a podcast?
I don't know. We have been on some more peek behind the pod. We've been on this meeting for over an hour at this point. we had to do a little download, a little life download. Yeah, being a person is hard. So... we are going to try to solve who killed Bunny Folger. And to do that, we need to watch Only Murders in the Building, Season 2, Episode 9, Sparring Partners.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this episode opens up with fan favorite Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
With his sparring partner as he gives like a voiceover monologue. Essentially, like, just being Michael Rapaport, but, like, I guess not because he's a cop in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's complaining about, like, the budget of, you know, New York Police Department, like, the $5.5 billion with a B dollar budget, and how much money he makes in comparison to the budget number, and it's a very woe is him monologue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of wraps up with him kind of suggesting that he is, or maybe a little bit more than suggesting, that he is in a relationship with, or has found a kindred spirit with a woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's talking about how he has met, he's done a lot of odd jobs, taken other gigs here and there to kind of boost his salary. One of them is the Coney Island security, because of course we do know for sure at this point, as much as we possibly can, that Michael Rapaport, whose name is Kreps, by the way, it's
Michael Kreps, right?
I don't know what his first name is, but
I mean, it might as well be Michael, but
Kreps is the name, which I learned so that I could say it, because Michael Rapaport is too many syllables. So
That's true. We
unfortunately got a lot of him in this episode. I mean, he does his job.
Too many syllables. Put that in your Rapaport.
Oh boy. Oh, yeah, yeah. So there, I saw a very good or very funny interaction with him on Twitter.com.
Oh.
Where someone was like basically saying, you were a real like dickhead to me. Mm-hmm. When we did a comedy together in the DC improv or something, he goes, I've never met you in my goddamn life. I hate these people responding to all my good tweets about Donald Trump or whatever. And then the person posted a photo of him and Michael Rapaport in the green room of the DC improv. Oh, and he goes, you got me. Like, it's pretty funny.
That's funny. Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't be a jackass. But also, to his point, though, there has been a lot of nonsense on Twitter over the past couple of days over just
true.
Dumb misinformation from people who are not in the industry at all.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
like exhausting. Somebody was complaining. There was a post about an actress spitting gum into an assistant's napkin-covered hand.
Yeah.
Before a scene, and they were like, "How disgusting to treat your assistant that way!" And I'm like, "Girl, can't leave a mark." Don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And like, they're shooting on a street. Like, you can clearly tell it's like New York City, like on a street, like they have mm-hmm. to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh gosh, what was I going to say? Okay. Here's my hot take about that monologue that he gives at the beginning.
Oh,
great.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
You shouldn't be able to hire a cop for a place that isn't their beat. Mm. I think that should be illegal.
What? Sorry, you mean you can't rent a cop?
Yeah, I would. I think that I don't think you should be able to rent a cop for someone that is not their beat. I think that should be. I think that's a bad incentive.
I agree.
For police officers. Ugh. Also, here's the thing about him kvetching about and whinging and moaning about his salary is he says after that's before taxes, before alimony, mm-hmm. before child support, and before something else. And I'm like, oh, right, because he owns a boxing gym. I'm like, that sounds all like a you problem. Yeah. It sounds like you fucked up your life, and that is not anyone's fault but yours.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a dickhead, I guess, support to say.
He's really good at playing a piece of shit that is easy not to have sympathy for. So, yes. So then we cut to Mabel talking to Charles about Kreps. And, you know, they're pinning his picture up on the bulletin board saying, okay, well, Kreps is glitter guy. But they can't figure out why he would kill Bunny for a painting. He's not really like an art type guy. Maybe this is a murder for hire. But who is the criminal mastermind? What is going on here? Then we have Oliver showing up in his pajamas. And
with a special guest.
Oh, his yes.
Wild hair.
Oh, no, Mrs. Gambolini.
I know.
Oh.
Just getting up to that. But he has a very good line where he enters and he goes, I know what you're thinking. Are we good enough friends to show up at each other's places unannounced in our night clothes? And Charles goes, no. And Mabel goes, night clothes? Because it is, like, as someone who does have a pajama set, Number one, everyone should. I think they're definitely a good investment, but it's also so rare to have a pajama set and a robe, a nightgown, a dressing gown, if you will.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I do appreciate it laughter? Though, because the more and more I'm the more and more I work from home, and the more and more I sometimes feel the urge to get on like social media with my face in it. I'm like, you know, it would be nice if I had on like a cute little pajama set now.
Sure.
So that it looked like I was not just sitting around in the t-shirt and pajama pants constantly, which is definitely not what I'm doing right now.
Of course not. Absolutely
what I'm doing right now.
Like, I like pajamas as like a concept, but like, I never felt the need to like buy a set because like, who's gonna like see me in it but me? And like, I don't really
care. Sometimes you gotta do things for yourself, Tyler, number one.
I mean, I would just rather like spend that money like on a sandwich.
Okay. So two things come to mind. Three things. One, just have a go at it. Buy a cheap set, see if you like it. And if you don't, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Two, my cheap pajama set was gifted to me by my friend Hattie, and she has a matching set. And she used to do sleepovers often. And so we'd have matching pajama sets.
That's adorable. I love it. Yeah, like, so that's much
fun.
Yeah, it's
like if I was doing like a bachelor weekend or something, like that would be like a fun thing for like that. But like,
oh, that's very cute.
My family every year we do matching Christmas outfits, and often they're pajama sets.
Yeah.
Then the other thing I wanted to say is, do you remember that animated film Little Nemo?
Little
Nemo, I believe, where he gets sucked into like this fantasy world, and he has to say pajama, pajama, pajama to ward off like evil spirits.
I don't know that one.
Okay, then it terrified me as a child. Go look it up if you want. Is it Little Nemo? Mrs. Gambolini has entered along with.
Yes. Okay. Great. So Oliver shows up and he says that has gotten the DNA results back and he is Will's father. And then
Charles is like, "Oh, I didn't know you were Greek."
Yeah. And he says, "I'm Greek-ish." You know how like I thought Greek? I was. Irish. So that's what he says, and he seems very relieved. Something feels off though.
Yeah, and to their credit, like, his friends are very like recognize that like he needs this win right now.
Yeah,
and they just let it be.
Yeah. I watched this episode through twice. And we'll get to later, because you know I don't want to give away at the end of the episode, at the beginning of the episode. I don't know why, because I'm assuming that the people listening to this have watched the episode, but I don't know.
Isn't that always odd with these recap podcasts? Because here's the thing though, Melissa, I listened to Blank Check with Griffin and David, and they cover movies, and half the time I've not seen the film. Going in chronological order and with notes, I think is actually good.
Yeah, no, I listen to a podcast that summarizes SVU episodes, and I do not listen to them before. I don't watch the episodes beforehand. I have seen a lot of them, but I don't always. I don't always watch them. I haven't always watched the episode before, so yeah, that's fair. Anyway, so Oliver says, "So here I am to give you this gift," and it's Mrs. Gambolini in her cage, and they're having a little bit of a struggle because neither of these men want this bird. And
is ridiculous.
I know, right? She's amazing.
I was thinking about this the other day. I'm sorry to interrupt again, but I'm going to.
Okay.
I would love to have birds as pets, but I would never want to cage a bird. So my dream is to have what is it called?
An bird aviary? Sanctuary?
An aviary. Yeah. Ooh. Where I just have birds in the backyard and they're like, these are the birds I know, but they're flying around in the backyard and they're fine.
These are my bird friends in my aviary. Yeah. No, that's good. I like an aviary idea. For a second, I thought you were just going to say, I would love to have a bird just flying around my apartment. It's like, well, that's
a choice.
Hey, a bird on a leash is fine.
I love Korn. I love Korn's second album, Bird on a Leash. I budgie sat a lot for a friend growing up, and we let the birds fly around the rooms, and that was really fun. Always a joy.
Yeah,
I've talked about hypnotizing this birds afternoon.
Today. Oh,
And there's a scene in which Sister James is like sitting on like a bench outside in a courtyard, and then Father Flynn approaches, and like there's like these bird calls happening, and at the bird calls happening, like in my seat, I'm like, is that a grackle or a crow? Grackle, crow. Like, in my head, like, as the scene is happening. And then Father Flynn, like, eventually asks, like, what bird is that? Like, what's going on? And then he's like, is it a starling? Is it a grackle? And she's like, it's a crow. And I was like, first of all, attitude. Also, it's like, okay, I was on the right track. Just from the sound.
I love this. I love this story. I don't even know what a grackle is. So
I would also like
it's another like large black bird, but like it has like the belly isn't like it's dark, but it's not black like the belly and breast of the bird, if I remember correctly. Let me
drop it in the chat.
Yeah.
I would like to shout out
it's the head. It's the head that's a darker hue or like a non-black hue.
Okay.
A great service down in Aotearoa, New Zealand is called Zealandia. It's a bird sanctuary, and they offer soundscapes of the sanctuary. And I would highly recommend listening to those. They're one of them is what I wake up to every morning.
Oh, there's the really bird.
Cool. Oh yeah, I've seen this motherfucker before. Yeah. I know what a grackle is.
I like.
Looks like a. An ink dipped pen.
I like his blue scarf situation or cowl or whatever we want to call it. Looks like he's wearing.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, good. We've talked about birds for a while.
I love a bird. I will always talk about a bird.
If only they were real.
Yeah,
but moving onward.
Only they were real. So as they're struggling with this bird cage, the bird cage pops open the bottom, the base, and there is the original painting of Charles's dad and his lover
Goober.
There it is. We finally have both. Okay, great. Mrs. Gambolini says, I know who did it. And they tell her to shut up and credits.
Yeah.
So Alice, I have a, now this I don't know. So this is pure speculation. I have a feeling that Mrs. Gambolini might actually know who did it. I think she knows.
Probably. Animals can sense these things. You know how
I can't say anything.
You watched it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right, can we tell the you tell
so I'm listeners? Trying to be like very stoic and like so like I'm not trying to give anything away.
Oh, I love
can
it.
You
okay.
Tell the listeners why you can't say anything? You want to explain the situation?
So when watching episode 8, I finished the episode and then I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go on and like watch 9 so I can be prepped as well. And I started to watch 9 and then I fell asleep and then woke up during like the actual reveal in episode 10. So I know exactly what happens, who did it and why and all that.
Oh my gosh.
But I don't remember like really anything past Alice arriving at Mabel's apartment. Alice is her name, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So like the bit we're about to get into is like the last thing that I remember. Like it was that moment and then I woke up and then
amazing.
I did go back and watch this episode to talk about it today, but like that's the original story of what happened.
Okay. I was about to ask. Yeah.
All right, great. So Alice shows up at Mabel's apartment and she made her a puzzle with an X-Acto knife during a blackout, which is
here's the thing. I am all for the suspension of disbelief, right? Mm-hmm. I think movies, TV, and theater are all magic in that
way. That's right.
But the puzzle pieces that Mabel extracts from the bag could not have possibly been made with an X-Acto knife. They are clearly made with a printer, or at the very least a jigsaw.
I don't know. I feel like she could have had other puzzle pieces and just traced those with the X-Acto.
I don't think she's that smart or talented as a character. So I don't think... Mabel does call her art shitty, and I was like, thank you, finally someone speaking God's truth to this woman.
Oh God, have you ever had like a friend date an artist whose work you had to like pretend to understand or enjoy?
Yes.
I feel like constantly.
It's like, yeah, not a lot, actually. Sometimes I've been the person dating the person. I'm going, yeah, no, that's really interesting.
I could never date someone who I didn't think was good at the art that they were creating. If they were like cared about being good at it, if it was a hobby, like fine, I don't care. If you're like, I would like to do some pottery and it's just shitty pottery, that's fine. Like, cool. But if you're trying to do it to success in any way.
Yeah.
Like,
I want to also clarify, if you're listening to this and you're one of my former partners, it's not who you're talking. I'm not who you're talking about. You're not who I'm talking about. There we go. I don't know what I'm saying, but I want to clarify that. Because if anyone who's listening to this, if any of my former partners are listening to this episode, that means we're on good enough terms where it's not you.
Right. Yes. That makes sense.
Like, anyway.
I have an ex who is a comedian and he is very, very talented. Thank goodness.
Okay, brag.
No, but it's one of those things. Yeah, I couldn't possibly. I wouldn't have been with him for 2 years if I didn't think he was very funny. And he's been on The Daily Show now, so.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it really
good
is.
Good for him. Good, good. Good for him.
He deserves it. He's very good. I think you'd like his.
I'm sure he is. No.
Yeah. Yes. So Mabel says she likes Alice, but she doesn't trust her.
Oh, relatable.
And Alice says, well, if you ever need my help, you know where to find me. Mabel's like,
Chekhov's cell phone.
Okie doke. So we go to Charles and he is on the phone asking the nursing home about Bunny's mom. You know, they're saying that she's not very alert, you know, she isn't very sharp, she doesn't hear very well, and he's like,
nonverbal.
Oh, nonverbal. Okay. And he's like, well, she seemed very verbal when I saw her at, you know, this party a few weeks ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that there's a picture of her on their website, and he goes to look at her, and it is not Shirley MacLaine.
No,
it's surely not.
That's right.
And Steve Martin delivers a very good line reading where he goes, oh, Charles, you've been had. And it's very good.
Yeah. So Shirley MacLaine was posing as Leonora Folger, but that is not her. So we shall see. We get a scene in which Will is still freaking out about the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
How long is this rehearsal process? I guess this all is taking
like,
place.
It's like 8-year-old. So I imagine like this is months.
Yeah.
Because just to get them to stand in a straight line without fidgeting takes a week. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
Line in this bit, which is, he's listing all the things that are going wrong with the rehearsals, and one of them is that what Dorothy doesn't think that the Scarecrow should be played by a neurotypical person. Yes. Which is a good line. I'm sorry, that's very funny as a concept.
That is very funny.
A good line.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I keep forgetting that this all takes place over like the course of a week.
Yeah.
And also
hell of a week.
Yeah.
Oh, this true. Whole series?
Yeah. Not only that, okay. It's also like not it's like the week after the first series. So this has been like a month, a crazy month for these three people.
Oh god, I know, like rent move. This is why I live in Jersey.
You're not wrong for it.
So yeah, there you go. But yes, especially because we watched the first season fully 2 years ago at this point, or whatever it is.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Three.
What? No.
2021.
Yeah.
Did
because
we?
I was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Because of aforementioned Ding Dong.
Oh, I love that track off of Korn's third album.
I gotta get a feature on Korn's next.
I know, right?
Oh gosh, I hope I can cut out the shrill cackle I just let out from that.
Just blame a grackle.
Okay. Blame a crackle, it, yeah. It
was the cackle was the grackle.
Yes. Korn's fifth album.
But the vessel with the pestle has the brew that is true. Famously, yes.
Yeah. And so Oliver tells Will, you know, you're going to be able to get through this. This play is going to be great because you're a Putnam.
There's theater in your blood, son.
Yeah. And he says, are you telling me that I am your son? So he confirms it. And he says, gosh, I didn't realize how much this was weighing on me until now. So Will is happy to be Oliver's son, as he has always believed he was. And they have a really nice moment. And Martin Short is actually doing really lovely work in this.
Yeah, he's really good in this scene.
His whole performance in this is very nuanced and subtle. It's really lovely. I mean, Oliver is not subtle, but there's layers that are subtle underneath what he's doing.
Yeah, I would say the character isn't, but I would say the performance is, if that makes sense.
It does.
Mm. Yeah.
We cut back to Charles, and he realizes he has the watch that's in the painting. Mm-hmm. Like, on his wrist is the watch, his dad's watch, that is depicted in the painting.
He opens the back of the watch. And from there's an address that he Googles.
Oh, yeah.
While simultaneously, Mabel is doing her own Googling and finds the gym bag through Glittergeist gym bag, the boxing gym that Michael Rappaport owns.
Yes.
Well, why didn't you just say so?
Yes. Okay, no, right, that's right. He does open up the watch, that's right.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool, to be honest. Yeah. I love clockwork. It's very fun to look at.
It is, it's very fun.
We still have to do Great Mouse Detective on this Ding Dang podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a clock involved? Spoiler alert.
Have you never seen?
No, I've seen it.
Okay. Because I was like, I think Radigan would change your whole life if you haven't seen it yet.
I am, just kidding.
Peel back and a bunch of rats crawl out of you. What are you talking about?
There's an address in the watch for Lake Placid. He Googles it and dials the phone number associated with it, and an older woman answers. And he smiles. So, and then
she goes, hello, this is Shirley MacLaine. That's what she sounds like, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So
Shirley MacLaine in my time.
Good. So Mabel, as we said, finds Krupp's address in his file, and
such a good moment.
She says, looks like we're in for a fight. And then she
Pretty good, she, Mabel.
Yeah, she stops herself and pulls out her phone to record and says, looks like we're into a fight, in for a fight on the phone to record it for the podcast. And then she's like, I need to get a life or something like that.
Yeah.
Jesus, I need a life.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting parallel that I don't know if anyone else is going to draw. And I might be insane for this, but she reminds me so much of David Duchovny in her performance as Mabel. I've been watching a lot of X-Files lately. Okay. And David Duchovny has this sort of monotone thing where he kind of just is like, Scully, I think I found some aliens. Isn't that crazy? And like, that's as excited as he gets, pretty much. And it's very similar cadence. I was like, this, because I was watching this episode, I was like, who does this remind me of? Who does, and I'm like, David Duchovny?
That's funny.
Isn't that odd?
That is funny. I like it. Oh gosh, maybe April is the month I finally start watching X-Files. We'll see.
I think, here's the thing, Melissa, and it's already happening to me, but it will become your whole personality.
Yeah, I know.
Is be forewarned.
Oh, that it's, yeah, worth it. And you're a fellow bi. Yeah, you in for it, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will go insane. They're both objectively so hot. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like X-Files, The Mummy, and George of the Jungle. We cannot survive this detective.
Oh, I have finally seen The Mummy.
Oh, good.
I told you, and I watched, right? That, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Formative.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, she reminded me of David Duchovny, of all people. But then, do we head to the gym with her next? Is that what happens?
Yes. Well, her and Michael are about to jump into the ring, as it were.
She starts berating him and calling him a bunch of dumb names that are all puns.
To be fair, he kind of starts it, though.
Oh, 100%. And he's deserving of it. But she goes, I like boxing movies and bad puns. And I was like, this is why Tyler is Mabel.
Do you like boxing movies, Tyler?
I do.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, I prefer my go-to is like the Hurricane Heist and the Fast and Furious of the world. But like, I do like a good boxing movie. I can't fall asleep to anything but like explosions and gunfire.
Okay. Hmm. Huh.
Huh.
That's a...
Or like motors, like revving, I guess. That's also like half of the soundscape in Fast and Furious, which is the fifth one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's the fifth one.
Yeah.
I have seen none of those movies. Zero.
Oh, we are going to have a weekend one day.
Yes. Okay.
I tell you, I have a couple of things to contribute here. One, I've never seen any of them either. Happy to. Two, worst divided year of all time. Their last season was them watching from Furious 9, Fast 9 rather, 9 times 8, 8 times 5, and so on and so on until one time. And reviewing them. And it was a heck of a season. But also,
I bet, how lucky.
It's really interesting because they start at such a weird place and going backwards. It's the whole thing of the going backwards of it all that makes the whole thing weird.
Garble That Garbage just did an episode about Fast and Furious. shout out to Siege and Hunter. Siege is my cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Amazing.
Very good.
Paul F. Tompkins called Fast and the Furious straight camp, and it has not left my mind since.
Like a conversion camp?
No, like camp as in, yes, yes, Tyler, like a conversion, no, like camp as in.
What does that mean? Like straight camp, that's what I think of, is like your conversion, what do you mean?
Like, you know, looking camp in the eye, the concept of camp, but for straight people.
Oh, okay, all right, I'm with you now, okay.
Yeah. And it changed my whole perspective on like that and like Transformers and I don't know, like American Sniper. What is that? But you know, like
not American Sniper.
I know, but you know what I mean. Like those like very hyper masculine films particularly that I'm like, okay. Yeah, it's camp for street people.
Lordy, oh my that gosh. Almost killed me.
Mabel loves boxing movies and puns.
He does.
Yes. Careful, and right. A couple of the guys at the gym are giggling and it makes him mad, which is always fun.
Good.
Yep. So she wants to ask him some questions and he's an asshole to her. Meanwhile, Charles goes to see Rose Cooper, the painter, who is actually Shirley MacLaine. That's who that really is. Who Shirley MacLaine had been, who Rose Cooper had been posing as Bunny's mom. So Mabel asks Kreps how he knew about the evidence drop. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about, but as she's pressing, he says the matchbook is gone and that it wasn't his fingerprint on it. Then we go to Oliver, who's on the elevator, and he's mildly fussing at his very cute bulldog. Love to see the bulldog. Yes. Because he peed on Cashmere. He says, just because something is soft does not mean that we pee on it. It's very cute. And then Teddy Demas gets into the elevator and the doors close and Oliver starts wailing on him, attacking him, punching him. And he says, I'm going to kill you. Then we cut back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We cut
to
back.
A lovely shot of a cocottini.
Oh.
I just wanted to say cocottini.
Yes, we do. And at that point, Charles says, so the cocottinis are yours and not Leonora Folger's, as she's drinking that. And she said that she knew enough to pull off the day trip into the city. So she had her story straight and she asks him for the painting. Meanwhile, we have Mabel pressing Kreps, asking about his shoulder, saying he's too stupid to have pulled off such a sophisticated murder.
And not wrong.
Brutal and so funny to see someone's face.
Yeah, it really is. But I get how she got there. I get how she reached her limit on that. And he says that that's enough. You think I'm going to tell you something that I don't want to tell you? And then we cut back to the elevator, and Oliver is strangling Teddy as the door opens, and
hard again.
Yeah, and we see Howard outside. Actually, I just want to remark real quick, because when they're in the elevator and having this kerfuffle, mm-hmm. The shot is from above, and it's really, mm-hmm. it's actually quite well composed, I thought. And then the dog is just looking at them from the corner, like,
really funny.
But then Howard is at the elevator and he says, okay, this looks complicated. Maybe I shouldn't get on. And they're like, oh, no, please get on the elevator. And the door shuts again and they immediately start fighting. And he has to stop.
Very one-sided fight, though.
Very one-sided fight. And also very good comedic performances from all three actors in this moment.
Yeah.
Really good.
A wonderful performance, especially from the dog. It's great at being a dog. Absolutely.
Truly.
Iconic.
No notes on my end for the dog.
He's perfect. In fact, perfect at being an English bulldog, because that is what they do. Just like really? Stand there like, what are you doing?
Although that last take looked a little French. Not gonna lie. Mm,
true. Zootalore.
So Teddy asks, like, why are you doing this? And
because Cardian gets off on the next stop.
Yes.
Quite rightly. He immediately pushes the next floor, which is great.
Yeah. Just do not want any involvement in this.
But also, like, I would have stayed on the elevator. I have things to do with my life. Like, y'all are not going to bother me. You know what I mean?
He does get jostled at one point.
And you would be jostled right the heck back. That's if you fair. Want the elevator with me, is all that, I'm saying.
That is fair.
If you're in the play elevator with me.
Yeah. And Teddy asks why, and Oliver says, "You are my son's father." So he was lying. Mabel accuses Kreps of trying to pin the murder on them. And Kreps says that he was able to land the smartest woman on the planet, a good podcaster, as he's like insulting their podcast.
Yeah. And is that when she's like, she's like, "I thought you hated podcasters," and he's like, "Oh no, I like the good ones," and
right, yes,
insults them this way.
So he threatens her and tells her to get out.
He says, "I'm not scared of you."
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, you should be. And that's how dumb you are, because I'm the lead investigator of a murder case in which somebody keeps making you the lead suspect.
That's right.
And I'm like, dang, Michael Rapaport actually has a point for once.
Yeah. So that was when I figured out who he was talking about. That was the point where I was like, oh, so yeah. I felt very smart there because the reveal didn't happen until later.
Sure. Yeah. I agree.
She leaves. As she's leaving, she finds a towel with a chicken on it. And it was the same
cartoon logo of a chicken, to be clear. Not fair. Just like that, a loose chicken.
Not just a chicken.
A rotisserie chicken just laying on a
and it's a logo of a cartoon chicken that they'd seen before. I forget where they saw it before. Where did they see it before?
That's not really revealed until the next scene. They haven't seen it before, but it's in his gym. It's on Michael Rapaport's gym bag, and then it's also, she's heard it before, she realizes.
Okay.
We have seen it though.
Yeah.
In a very, like, it wasn't like presented as like information you need to know, but we have seen that logo before.
Yes. So back to Charles. He brings her the painting. And she tells him to remove the canvas. So we're looking behind a lot of things. We're opening things up that aren't normally opened up in this episode. It's very fun. Then it's a cut back to Mabel as she is looking at the puzzle that Alice has made for her.
I would also say Charles says something just devastating, where she goes, "I don't know much about my father, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he wasn't a good man," which is like, ooh. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Was this like a bigger deal in season one? Because this is one mystery I did not give two shits about this season, to be honest.
Charles's dad?
Like his father, like their whole relationship and thing that seems to be like petering on. Like, was this a thing in the first season?
I don't think it was. I don't think we knew really, much about him. No.
Okay.
You don't really get to know too much about any of the main three in that first season.
Gotcha.
It's mostly jokes and mystery.
Well, I'll get into it later.
Okay. Mabel is looking at the puzzle that Alice made for her, and she comes across a part of it that has art for the podcast, "All Is Not Okay in Ohio." And
Oklahoma.
Sorry,
it's because it's okay. Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Ohio. That's just what fell out of my mouth. Yes, all is not okay in Oklahoma. And we had seen at the beginning of this episode, when we got the previously on, we were getting a lot from the first episode of the pod of the whole series of Only Murders in the Building, where they were bonding over the fact that they all listened to Cinda Canning's podcast, All Is Not Okay. And so she's seeing that art, and she's remembering Kreps's words about the smart podcasts, like All Is Not Okay. She is mulling things over. So then we have a scene with Teddy in Oliver's apartment.
Yeah.
And Oliver, they've calmed down quite a lot. They're having a discussion now.
Yeah.
So Oliver had talked to his ex-wife, I'm assuming after he was able to read the email about the paternity, and she admitted to the affair and said that it was only, you know, a one-time thing. And Oliver says he feels like the worst father in the world. And Teddy is trying to comfort him, in fact. And he brings up the fact that he dragged his son, Theo, into a criminal enterprise. And it's like, well, that's true. I guess I'm not the worst father.
Yeah. There's also a great line where Teddy goes, well, it only happened once. Well, she said twice. She goes, and he goes, well, one night, two times. And he goes, now you're just bragging.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
So we're back to Mabel and the puzzle, and she's re-listening to All Is Not Okay. And Cinda talks about the chicken place she went to in Oklahoma and describes the logo that she had seen on the towel and that they had seen before. So we're getting pieces put together. So as Charles in Rose Cooper's home is removing the top painting, beneath there's a nice, you know, pleasant painting, not as quite as salacious, of Charles and his father from the back standing together. And Rose said that Charles's dad kept her safe from her bad ex-boyfriend or ex-husband, and she had to leave, and so they never saw each other again. So meanwhile, Oliver and Teddy are sharing a bottle of wine and having a discussion about their fathers. Neither of theirs was very good. Teddy wanted to have a good relationship with Theo, like he, like Oliver has with Will. So they're finding some common ground, and Oliver wants to keep it a secret from Will. For Will.
Yeah.
And Teddy agrees and says, you know, whatever you want, Oliver. So, oh boy, I guess that's what we're doing. Then Mabel goes to Poppy. And Poppy says that Cinda is out.
They're at the recording. That was her name. And I was, I'm like, who's Poppy? Because the person that popped into my head was, do you remember Poppy's paintings from PBS?
No.
God, I'm listening to things that you, I just had a different childhood than y'all, and that's fine. But I just imagined like some, an old, like prospector. Like she goes to Poppy, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. So Cinda isn't there. She's getting a throat massage. And Poppy says that she can't help. After all, you know, I know I said I could help, but I really can't. And Mabel says she knows that Bunny's murder is related to All Is Not Okay and Cinda. And Poppy tells her that she needs to get out of there. Then we cut to Rose Cooper talking about being visited by a woman. She says, you know, like this visit has been much more pleasant than
that nosy woman or, yeah.
With, you know, brown hair and glasses. And Charles is like, Cinda, can I? So Mabel presses Poppy and she says, you're really so afraid of a podcaster who solved the disappearance of Becky Butler. And Poppy says, yes. And then we get a cut back to Krebs looking at evidence. There's a hair sample from Becky Butler. And he's doing another voice over saying everyone has secrets. And then it's revealed that he was working the Becky Butler case when he met Cinda. And that is the woman he was talking about at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
And then we get a cut back to Poppy telling Mabel that she is Becky Butler. We go back to our trio convening in Charles' apartment with the bulletin board. They put up a photo of Cinda. It says criminal mastermind. And Charles says, well, shit. And that is the end of the episode.
And then they play Jennifer Lopez's stripper music from Hustlers.
That's true. Episode, what'd you think about it, Tyler?
Out of five? Yeah. 3 out of 5, like slightly above average for me. There were funny bits. We did get more of the mystery and like nuggets out, but like it really just, there were just so many moments for me that just felt like it was written by people who have not been around normal people for a very long time.
Go on, do tell.
Like the name of the chicken place, like some of the references, the bit like with Oliver and Teddy. Like I know that there were moments that y'all found funny that I just found gross.
Sure.
Especially as it pertained to the mother in the situation and like how it made her seem.
Sure.
So yeah, like, and in the storyline with Charles and his dad, like it felt like they wanted that moment in that scene to like really be like impactful. And like, I felt like I knew what they were going for, but like it didn't hit because like, I don't know like enough about his longing for his dad for this to have like really meant something to me. So it just felt like a waste of time, personally.
Yeah, I can get behind everything you've said. I would also give it a 3 out of 5. Like, not terrible. It's not one I'm going to rewatch, though. You know, it like moves the plot along. It has some solid bits. We get character stuff too, but at all the character stuff, I do agree with you. I think that like we haven't been spending enough. I don't know. It just it did feel like a little. It felt a little flat. Specifically, and I think in contrast to the stuff that like, because it's literally cut between Teddy and Oliver talking, and that stuff is so good. Nathan Lane is particularly good in his performance in this series, I think. And what's really lovely to see is Martin Short and Nathan Lane, who are two actors that can really go big, be so grounded and, you know, subtle with both their jokes and also just the performance in general. It's really, really lovely. So I think that also doesn't help the Charles plot line, that it's contrasted by this like really interesting thing. And then it's like, oh yeah. Okay. I would say a standout riff from Martin, whether or not it's written or not, like, was I'm so Greek I can be Jennifer Aniston's stand-in. I'm so Greek that I will go bankrupt and no one will help me. Very
when
too.
You said Riff from Martin, I went to the TV show Martin. I was like, what character was Riff?
Good. Yeah.
No, I liked that very much. I thought that was some strong jokes. All the pun names were very good. Raging Bullshitter was very good.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah, so it was all like, it was all quality stuff, but I think it was just like a little flat. I think Cinda being involved in this is interesting, but not unpredictable as far as like a twist goes. I think, what is her name? Poppy. Being the person for that's a really interesting twist that I didn't see coming, and like that I think I'm interested to see where they go with. But like Cinda, like she's clearly a bad person. You meet her in season 1, episode 1 and see she sucks shit. You know,
yeah,
so it's not surprising that she'd be in this. It's so, but it's an interesting choice though, if not a surprising.
So I think I liked it a little bit more than y'all did. I would give it a 3.5. It did seem to take us a while to get where we were going in this, especially with the Charles storyline, which does still leave a little bit of confusion, not confusion, but just like, okay, well, what is this about then? It just seems very, we're taking a while to get there. So, I mean, love to see Shirley MacLaine, but other than that, it was Yeah, that part was a little tedious. And I think that the stuff with Krebs is very interesting. I think that the fact that Cinda is involved with him was very surprising to me. I did not see any of the all is not okay tie-ins coming. So that's quite a twist. And then of course Poppy being Becky is, you know, very shocking. So that was cool, but it did seem like we took a bit to get there. I did think the stuff with Teddy and Oliver was really interesting, and with Will, as I said before, I really do think that Martin Short's performance as Oliver in this episode in particular is really nice and nuanced. And I really am not, I don't know, I didn't catch like a judgment about the affair, really, especially about his ex-wife. Just like, you know, it was a thing that happened. They're human beings, and that's just sometimes a thing that people will do, but like no shade beyond that, really. But yeah, I thought that it was handled between the two of them. The resolution they come to is very, very nice to see. So, yeah, that's about it.
Real quick, what was the point of Amy Schumer this season?
I don't know. Like, I actually thought
the homegirl just need like cash quick, or just like, hey, just put me in a couple episodes, get clear of this check, and I'm out. Because we have not seen her since episode two, right?
If she doesn't come back in the final episode, then apparently yes. Because yeah, I mean, Sting was in there, but like he had a in the first season, but he had a resolution pretty fast.
Yeah. He's like, he has a whole episode that's about him, pretty much.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, I see why you're here. And also, it's a little bit of a stunt, but it also is involved with the plot. So
it's also crazy that they got Sting. I think it's ripped so hard. It's very funny. Whereas, like, of course, Amy Schumer is here. That makes perfect sense. Whereas, like, Sting?
Yeah.
From David Lynch's Dune? Sting?
So funny.
From Broadway's The Last Ship, Sting.
From every mother in suburbia's discography that's on the shelf, Sting.
Oh my gosh. So funny.
Not my mama.
Fair. But my mother.
Although maybe. My mom's British. Who knows? She might have been listening to Sting.
Right. No, that
mom, let me know in the comments.
Let me know in the comments. Someone said at one point ACAB does include, unfortunately, Sting.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh. I get it.
Yeah, there was Chris Rock was on David Letterman once, and I guess Sting was
he was
backstage. I was like, oh, hands up, don't shoot.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
That's fun. But like, also not, but.
But yeah, I'm interested to see if she comes back. And it makes me interested because you've seen most of the reveal. So that's you're either like planting a red herring or why is she here?
I do love communism.
Wink
face. Because communism is a red herring for people who are.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. Did I tell you that someone once approached me on a platform wanting me to sign a petition against the Chinese Communist Party?
Oh, boy.
And I looked at her and I said, maybe not a list of names that they can track for this one.
Oh my gosh.
How did they respond?
Oh, I just thought that. I just said, no, thank you.
Oh.
But for the joke, it's better if I say it. Fair. But yeah.
Yeah, that's shit I would say. I think I don't remember what the petition was, but it was something that like I should not have said this response to, which was like, oh, I already work there. I forget what, they look so confused. And I had to be like, oh, wait, what are they actually talking about? And I was like, oh, God, no, nope, not a part of that. Sorry.
That's funny. Okay. My goodness. Well, if there is no other further business, I call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to a close.
Gavel sound.
I don't get it.